Everyone, we'll go ahead and try to get started this morning. First thing I'd like to say is thank you for praying for me last week. I had a reaction to medication, so thank you for praying for me. And it's been a busy week. I've had 2 or 3 doctor appointments, so it's good to have that behind you. So. Anyway, it's good to see you this morning, and just want to thank the Lord for His goodness. I mean, He's good to us all the time. It doesn't matter whether we're having a good day or a bad day, God is still good. And so we want to praise Him for that. Now, I missed last week, and there's something I'd like to say before that we go too far. Last week we had G.S. Simpson that was going to have a birthday this week, and I don't see G.S. here, but we say happy birthday to him. Bobby Briggs had a birthday this week, so happy birthday, Bobby. Also, Miss Becky Roten, and so Becky's not in here right now, but we wish her a happy birthday also. So anyway, wanted to get that said before we got too far into this. Okay, tonight on announcements, we're going to have a meeting for all leaders at 7:30 p.m. in the chapel. And Brother Daniel gave me a piece of paper here I'm supposed to read to you. Adult Sunday school teachers. It says, 2 weeks from today, there will be a coffee and donut fellowship in the Family Life Center from 9:30 to 10:10. So, Brother Philip, that's 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, it will be over there before Sunday school. Yeah, okay. Okay. So, it says, please encourage your class members to enjoy this time of fellowship and plan to start your class at 10:10 instead of 10 a.m. So we'll have a few extra minutes 2 weeks from today. And then, of course, back in reference to the meeting in the chapel tonight, it's to discuss the new church app and give us a little training on it, because there's some of us that's old and dumb like I am, it's going to need a lot of training. So we'll look forward to that tonight. Okay, some other announcements. On Tuesday the 7th, this coming week, will be the Oasis Potluck over in the Family Life Center at 11:30. And y'all that are a part of the Oasis over there, go ahead and remember that. Bring something and come on out. Then next Saturday, Friday and Saturday, on the 10th and the 11th, the young adult will go to the Bancroft Bible Camp. Now these are the youth. Most of them that are in the young adults. So they'll be going to Bancroft Bible Camp next Friday and Saturday. And then also next Saturday, at 1 o'clock p.m. in the Family Life Center, we have the Quilting Circle. So y'all that are a part of that, remember that. Okay. We would like to again thank God for the wonderful blessing of the faith promise. $497,531.32. That's amazing. That is amazing. God has blessed so much. And so this week on birthdays, we're going to have Laura Littleford. Hers is on the 9th, and then Sherry Shadden will be on the 11th. So that'll be the birthdays that we'll have this week, and no anniversaries that we know of. I also like to extend our condolences to the Pat Reed family with the passing of her sister on the 25th. And so please pray for Pat and her family there during this time. Also, April Whitson, at the passing of her grandmother, Kate Cox, on the 28th. And then Burt Martin family at the passing of his brother-in-law, Dallas Stopel, on the 30th. So I don't know if I said that last name right. Could be Stopel. But anyway, we offer our condolences to these people during the loss of a loved one. So is there anyone that has a request by lifting hand this morning? Okay. All right. We're just a little bit behind, so we'll go ahead and have prayer and ask Brother Philip to come. So talk to us about what God's laid on his heart. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we could never, like the song says, Lord, we could never, never describe to the world what the blessings are that you give us, Lord, the benefits that we have every day. And Lord, we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you for the week. We want to thank you for what we anticipate over time. And Lord, do want to say this morning that as Summer's surgery has been postponed but is going to be done in a couple of weeks, Lord, we pray that you will help her to gain more strength. And Lord, give her just mercy and help, Lord, as she waits on this to come. Lord, pray, God, that you'll bless their trip out there. Give them safety, Lord. Give them mercy, Lord. Give them peace in their hearts about what you're going to do. And, Lord, we have great expectations for Summer. Lord, these others that are on the list, Lord, that we hand out each Sunday, God, we pray for each and every one, Lord, that they are suffering things, Lord, and some of us are standing on our feet this morning here in this place, Lord, but they would love to be here, but they can't. And Lord, I pray you'll be with them where they are, and Lord, that you'll give them your mercy and your love and your care this morning there. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. And we pray for Brother Philip this morning. God, just pray that you'll help him with his upcoming treatments. And Lord, I'll let him say more about that, Lord. And just bless this preaching service this morning, Brother Herdman, as he preaches to us. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
James chapter 2, there's lots to see there. I'm really excited about what we're going to be looking into. But I felt like talking about something else here. And it might take us a couple of weeks. We'll see. Probably because of things I'm going through. Oh, I needed to catch up on that. What has been going on in my life that I hope will help you in your life. Just some thoughts, but for me, I haven't gotten any word from the radiologist yet, so I guess all that referral stuff is still in the pipeline, and I think there were some delays there, and the medication they want to put me on, because my cancer is so high grade that it's got to be an expensive pill, so it's thousands and thousands of dollars for my part, and I can't afford that. So the prayer is that VA will issue the medication, then it'll be very affordable. So so we're waiting on that. So also, the doctor said that this medication has some rather difficult side effects. So I start a loading dose tomorrow, and he gave me enough for 30 days. So hopefully I'll be here next week. There are some things that I'll have to face, of course. And this isn't just a Lupron shot. This is something newer and more powerful. So anyway, we'll see if I can tolerate it. He said a whole bunch of my patients that I put on this after about 3 months say, I ain't doing this no more. This is ridiculous. And I might be one of them, but we'll see. Amen. What I can tolerate and what I can't. I certainly don't want to spend whatever time I have with low quality of life. Amen. Who wants to feel awful just to feel better forever and ever? And some of those side effects are permanent. And so anyway, we'll have to see how we do. So it's possible I might not be here next week. It's possible I will. We'll just have to see. Apparently there's lots of fatigue. There's other things that I'll have to deal with. So anyway, we'll start that tomorrow. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 10. Oh, no. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. By the way, one of the side effects of that drug is confusion, dizziness, and lack of concentration. Who knows how I'll do with teaching. I might go off on in left field. We certainly don't want that. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, you remember what our Lord said in the Gospels. He said, wisdom is justified of all of her children. And that's a very important verse because the truth, wisdom, gives in us, creates in us an amen. Wisdom is justified. We say that is the truth. And what we're going to see in this passage is very much the truth. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. God changed our lives. I mean, it wasn't just word. We did hear the word, but it came in power and in the Holy Ghost. We were transformed in power. That's what happened in our life for sure. And you're not looking at the person who got saved. You're looking at the person who is saved. I'm a changed man. I am not who that person was. You would not have wanted him in your life. Amen. No doubt about that. I was a wicked man. You're looking at the person that God has been working on for 50 years. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, praise the Lord for that, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Oh yes, we're so grateful for that. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Very much, that is exactly what happened to us. Amen. When we became followers of them, we're talking about the apostles who wrote the book. Amen. We're followers of those men's writings, followers of us and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having received the word in much affliction and joy, with joy of the Holy Ghost. We could say that too. Every one of us has had afflictions. We all in this room can sing that song with absolute understanding. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. That's us. All those young people out there, they've yet to go through those toils and snares, the many of them. We know what affliction is. In much affliction, not only because of this terrible world that we live in, not only because of our lost condition and fighting this old man, but also because of our witness for Christ. Amen? We've suffered much affliction, but with that, joy of the Holy Ghost. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. We certainly hope that's the case. We've wanted to be, have we not? To our children, to young Christians coming up, it has been our desire to be an example. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Spread abroad. So the word did sound out from us. It has and still does. We have said, we have proclaimed the joyful sound, have we not? Jesus saves. We have been a witness. And so we have sounded out the word of the Lord, but in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Obviously, they had a missions program. There is no other way that the word can get out from a group except it's sent out in a missions program. So there's no way to fulfill that without a missions program. They sent people out from their church to the four corners of the world. So, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Amen. That's what we've done all these years. Amen. So, all of this, every bit of it that we have said, amen, that is us. We say that has been the absolute truth of what God's done in our life. Every bit of it is by the grace of God, period. Period. We could not have borne testimony to any of that if God hadn't given us grace to do it. Just amen and amen. All glory goes to God. Every one of us, when we get to Revelations chapter 5, are going to throw our crowns before his feet, because he did it all. Thou art worthy, not us. We did it by his grace. But of all the things that we have needed grace for, is found in verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven. If there's something we need grace for, it's to wait on God. The Old Testament saints had to wait 4,000 years for that first coming. Do you remember Abel died almost immediately in Genesis? We believe that all the Old Testament saints went to paradise until the Lord took captivity captive. Are we correct about that? There they waited until the resurrection of Christ, right? Abel was, I guess, the only occupant of it at first, until others began to die and under normal death and persecution. But he was the first, amen, and he went to paradise, and there he waited for 4,000 years until Christ came to take captivity captive. You and I, the church, have been waiting nearly 2,000 years for his return. Think of it. And to wait for his son from heaven. I've been waiting 50 years come January 11th next year. 50 years I've been waiting for his return. And I mean that literally. I have been waiting. I would have just as soon gone to heaven the minute I got saved. It'd been done with this old sin-cursed world. It says in Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness. Part of the good fight of faith is the wearisome work and battle against our own sin natures, the constant putting off of the old man and the putting on of the new, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I absolutely believe that righteousness was imputed to me the minute I got saved. But I've been waiting for the reality of it ever since. I want the reality of it, don't you? Folks, we're waiting for the hope of righteousness. I want to realize it in my life. I don't know about you, but I'm weary of the flesh, and I'm weary of all the putting off and the putting on and the praying and the confessing and I'm sorries. It's just a battle of waiting on that hope of righteousness that will come upon us when the Lord returns. So, I say all this in the introduction. Waiting, evidently, is part and parcel of the whole Christian experience. We are called upon to wait. The hardest waiting that we will ever do is when we are in desperate need of God's help. When our loved ones, when ourselves, when our own bodies are deathly ill, and we desperately need God to hear our prayers. Like Lazarus, amen? He wasn't just sick. He was sick unto death, and he did die. Like Jairus in Matthew chapter 5, when he came to the Lord and said, "Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, 'My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be helped.'" Don't you know that was a sincere prayer? I mean, desperate situations. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 37, the disciples were in that boat, and it says of them, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." It was sinking, and Jesus is asleep in the back. And there they are sinking. Now, you know what is in every one of these illustrations that I have just read to you? In John 11 and verse 6, it says, "When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still." He waited. In Mark, if you remember, I won't read the whole text, but when Jairus came and begged him to come and heal his daughter, do you remember what happened? He said, "I will go with you." And he went, and there was a huge crowd following him, and some little woman in that crowd who had an issue of blood for 12 years came up and touched the hem of his garment. Do you remember what happened? He turned around and said, "Who touched me?" I assume the crowd spreads out, and there comes this woman. Can you imagine Jairus the whole time? We need to get moving, but he's going to deal with this lady before he goes over there and helps his daughter. And there's this whole discussion, and he has a discussion with his disciples. He says, "Who touched me?" "What do you mean, who touched you? The crowds are thronging you. Somebody touched me because virtue went out of me." You remember it? And he stops and he deals with her. Delay. So much so that in verse 35, "While he yet spake there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, 'Thy daughter's dead. Trouble not the master.'" That's how long the delay was. In Mark chapter 43 and verse 7, we've already seen it. He delayed until the ship was full. They were sinking. Have you ever been in a ship like that where the water's up to the gunwales? That's a desperate situation. In every one of these, there is delay. Now, I want to talk to you about delay because, now you might not believe this, but our God is the God of delay. Now, you and I want it right now. "Come, come, my daughter's dying," right? And he delays. Do you know, by the way, that you're not the center of God's universe? Evidently, because on his way to help her, there was somebody else that needed help, and he stopped to help her, and that little girl died. God is the God of delay, just as sure as he's the God of answered prayer. Now, it's important that you go with me to this next text, Isaiah 30. Because it's very important that we understand this. Isaiah verse 30, and I'm sorry, chapter 30. You think I've already started taking those drugs? I know. It's going to be bad. Isaiah 30, verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. Now get this. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Now, it's very important that we understand terms. That is not referring to the judgment of God on the lost. In other words, his condemnation of them. That word means that he is a God of discernment, of watching, of looking at you and me during the waiting. For God is a God of judgment. Evidently, he waits because he wants to see how you're responding while you wait on him. He's discerning your soul. He's watching. If you're going to exalt him in your waiting or become bitter, complain, despair, be cast down, we understand all those things, do we not? God's watching us. He waits. Therefore will the Lord wait, for he is a God that's watching you and me in our waiting. Do you remember Genesis chapter 22? The whole chapter, really, I'll pick it up in verse 12, but the whole chapter is about God telling Abraham to offer his son Isaac on a mountain that he will show him. And so he picks up and he goes, and he puts the wood on his back. He leaves the young men behind. They go up the mountain. He makes the altar. He takes the wood off his back. He puts it on the altar, and he ties his son up and puts him on that altar. He takes the knife, and God waits until he's ready to strike his son. Does everybody remember what God said to Abraham right then? And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. Now I know that thou fearest God. What was he doing? He was watching Abraham's soul in the waiting. Now, dear people, listen to me. God delays so that he can see what's really in every one of our hearts. Do you remember we studied this about a year ago with the disciples in the boat and our Savior? We took both of them, by the way. The disciples at one point were in a boat that was sinking, but Jesus wasn't with them. We studied that. And we studied the disciples in the boat with Jesus asleep in the back. You remember that, right? This is the one we're talking about. And let me just refresh your memory on this, because there were three responses to this, if you remember correctly. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? There's no prayer in that, folks. That was a rebuke. Carest thou not that we are dying, that we're going under? Why are you asleep back here? Now, has every one of us had such a response? Lord, I need help and I need it now. If we're not very, very careful, we can get bitter with God. Don't you care what's going on in my life? Have you ever been there? Sadly, I have. Notice also in Luke 8, verse 24, another group comes back to him, same boat, same situation, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Folks, there's no prayer in that either. We're going under. They didn't ask for help. The others were accusing him. These are just what? That kind of Christian that says, you know, there's no need to pray. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen, right? Que sera, sera. That does happen, by the way, to Christians in trouble. They just throw up their hands and say, you know, I'm just, whatever God's going to do, God's going to do. We perish. But in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 25, same exact scene. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. Three different responses to the exact same trial. Now, folks, our Savior let that go until they were just about to sink so that every one of them could see exactly what was in their heart. And that last one is an appropriate response. We must admit our problems. Lord, we have problems. We're perishing. But they said this, not master, master, teacher, teacher, Lord, you are in control, and we recognize that. Would you please help us? Lord, save us. Now, I think all of them got saved because somebody prayed, amen? The other two did not pray. One of them accused the Lord, carest thou not that we perish? The other ones was, we're gone. But these people came back and said, Lord, save us. We're in desperate need. So, he waits. Why? Back to Isaiah 30. So that he can give us grace. Isn't that what it says? Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious. That is only saying, folks, that he can give you grace while you wait. And what's the reason? And therefore will he, God, be exalted. Will we exalt and glorify God, not because he answered our prayers, but because we were willing to wait in our trouble on him. Therefore will the Lord wait. He wants to give you grace so that, therefore, so that he will be exalted. And this is the mercy that he will have on you, to give you grace. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he'll give you whatever you want. Now, you've probably heard that before, but that's not the truth. Wait on the Lord. And be of good courage, and he shall what? Strengthen thine heart. Now that's nothing but he shall be gracious. He will give you grace. That's what he's talking about in Psalm 27, verse 14. He will strengthen your heart in the waiting. We are called upon to have good courage. And our hope is that he will be gracious and give us strength to bear whatever it is that we're going through. To wait. To wait. We are required at times to wait when it seems like our very lives, our hopes, our loved ones, all of it is just dying. When everything, all the events seem to be working against us. I've been there. When we are hemmed in on every side and it just keeps getting worse, not better. He says to wait and let me strengthen your heart while you wait. Let me be gracious to you so that you can exalt me in your way. Don't get bitter. Don't get complaining. Don't get angry. Don't accuse me of not helping. We can say that in so many ways. Maybe next week I'll look at one of them because I'm running out of time. So that we can exalt him. By the way, How do we know if somebody is waiting? Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? What we've just seen. He will be gracious. Psalm, whatever it was, 27. He will strengthen your heart. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Will they get everything they want? No, they need strength to keep waiting on God. He will renew their strength, give them grace in their heart while everything is falling apart. Everything's getting worse and worse and worse. He will strengthen your heart. So how do we know that's the case? Three things. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Have you ever thought about that? Now, folks, I've been in difficulties, and I have waited on the Lord, and I have never sprouted wings and gone to heaven or flown. So it's obvious it is figurative language of something spiritual. They shall mount up. Where do you mount up to? To heaven. Those people that are waiting, truly waiting on God, it seems like, and I've seen them, it seems like their relationship with the Lord gets deeper. It gets more precious. Isn't that what we see in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3? It says, but tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because of what? The love of God in all of their troubles, not the answer to all of their prayers, but in their tribulation, the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts. It seems like some, when they go through troubles and they're waiting on God, it just seems like they get closer and closer. What's happening? They are mounting up with wings as eagles, folks. God is giving them strength in their waiting to get closer and closer, and they just seem to love him more. Amen. That's the evidence that they're waiting. What else? They shall run and not be weary. I've known Christians that literally are suffering, and everything seems to be going wrong, and they're still serving God. They're running their race. They're going ahead and doing it. They're not going to let it stop them until they're just flat on their back and they can't. They're going to keep trying to be a blessing to people. They're going to run the race that God set for them. That's an evidence that they're waiting on the Lord, and he shall strengthen them. What else? They shall walk and not faint. Folks, we've all known people that get bitter and leave God and just quit living for God. Folks, our walk is our Christian life, and if you're waiting on God, it will not suffer. Your Christian walk will not suffer because of what you're waiting on, whether he gives it to you or not. Just in the waiting of it, you're going to continue to obey the Lord. It's what is found in Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. If you're waiting, you will keep his way. The Lord, Lamentation, verse 3 and verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that get everything they want. I'm going to pray, name it, claim it. No, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Have you ever seen people that are going through, it's just difficulties, and they seem to have this quiet hope in their soul? Do you remember what Moses told the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt? It says that they were hemmed in the wilderness on either side. They couldn't get out. There was a a sea in front of them. They couldn't get across. They were hemmed in. Who was coming behind? Pharaoh and his chariots. And they were close, and they were coming down on them. And you can imagine how agitated they were. They were very afraid, and they were complaining, we should not have done this. And what does Moses say to them? Stand still. Quiet yourself. Calm yourself and see the salvation of the Lord. There they are. They can't get out, forward, sideways, and the enemy is hot on their trail. And he says to them, fear not, stand still, and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. That is what it's talking about in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25. They that wait on the Lord, God will be good to them, because they will hope and quietly wait on him. Now, next week, I'd like to give you a few more illustrations of this to help you understand. And I've got to quit now. People are wanting to come in. God bless you. Father, I pray that you'll bless these people. We all must learn to wait. It's very difficult, and we need your grace to do it. And in the midst of it, help us to remember that you're watching how we're responding. In Jesus' name, amen.